your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This is a series of shows that I've put together because I wanted to bring forth out of the Reiki community a sense of the place where Reiki can take us, not just, you know, in the first few weeks after Reiki class, but also in the years of living with Reiki and what Reiki has to offer us. And as my grandmother said, Reiki gives us health, happiness, and long life. And sometimes it's confusing because it seems like that Reiki people still get cancer, they still are depressed, they still have things happen to them that are not very what we might call positive. And one of the things that I've come to realize in my own feelings and experiences with Reiki is that it's not about what comes to us, it's more how do we hold what comes to us and what happens in our life as we hold that and accept whatever comes to us, whether it's something that gives us joy or something that, you know, awakens fear or something that is sad or disappointing. It's about us being able to hold these moments and perhaps to transform them. I have with me today Colleen Delaney, and she is from Seattle, Washington. I feel like she has a wonderful way of doing just that in her life, taking things that come to her and using them and taking the next step with them. And Colleen, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Phyllis. It's a pleasure to be here. And that was a lovely introduction.
Well, thank you. So, Colleen, as I have asked all the other interviewees, I would really love for you to tell us your Reiki story, because I feel like these are moments of magic in our lives, and I'm really always excited to hear the next version of moments of magic. So how did you come to Reiki?
Well, they certainly are that. Let me just give one background sentence. I had a father who was very creative and thought outside the box, and through a lot of the things he probed and experimented with, I came out of my family constellation with this idea that we really only use about 10% of the potential of the human mind. So as I went along through life, I always had my eye out for what is it that would help us to tap that other 90% in a good way. That's just a background statement. How I came to Reiki was actually through a personal epiphany. I was presenting my first scientific paper, and this was at an invited symposium honoring my mentor, from whom I'd gotten my doctorate. I had been an NIH fellow at University of Washington Medical School. It was a program to take basic scientists and give them 2 years of training in med school. So this was my first scientific paper. I'd done some work with premature infants in our neonatal intensive care unit. So there I was in a ballroom in downtown Manhattan, 300 people in the audience. I'm at the podium, and there's this humongously large screen. I'm starting my paper, and I turn to point to the patient, the preemie, and I could not see her for all the high-tech gear, and I just stopped talking. It seemed an eternity. And I thought, I can't find this kid. I know she's in there somewhere, but all I see is this high-tech gear. And in, I mean, it felt like an eternity. And in that moment, this voice said, "What's wrong with this picture?" And then the answer came, "We've pushed the patient out of the picture." Well, it wasn't an eternity. It was, you know, just a moment. I continued on with the paper and finished it and did not embarrass my mentor, so that was a good thing, and it was well received. But I then committed to finding, it's like, well, yes, there was this something more. It's not just tapping that huge potential of the human mind, but it's how do we also empower the person.
Mm-hmm.
So I began a quest. And I looked and studied several things, and then I found Reiki. And the way this happened, there's a wonderful woman who lived in Seattle at the time named Pamela, who was a therapist and was responsible for many of us learning about Reiki. And I had come to my session. It had been a especially difficult day at work. It was very chaotic. I was stuck in traffic. I had an old clunker car because I was still paying off student loans. And when I arrived, you know, the steam was just rolling out from under the hood, and the radiator was all overheated. And she came out and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes, let's just go in and start the session." She says, "What would you like to talk about?" And I thought, I could not organize my thoughts. I could not even say what I needed to talk about. She said, "Well, you know, I just did this training this weekend, and I have a suggestion. It's called Reiki, and I could treat you for about 10 minutes or so, and then we could see how you feel and if you want to reschedule or if we continue." And I said, "Well, okay, that sounds good." You know, so I said, "Well, what is it, and what are you going to do," and like that. But the important part is, in just this 10 minutes, what happened for me was miraculous. First, my mind quieted. My emotions calmed. I went to this very peaceful place. And having gone to that place, then I began to get complete clarity. So after 10 minutes, I said, "Oh, I know exactly what I'd like to work on." I named it. We did the session. We had 40 minutes left at that point. And I'll tell you, it was such a good piece of work. I did more work in that 40 minutes left of the session than probably 3 sessions altogether. So I said, "What did you say this was?" And she said, "Reiki." And I said, "Well, how does this work?" So she basically told me, I said, no, I mean, what happens in the body? You know, the scientist in me wanted to probe and get all the answers. She says, "Well, you know, you need to take a class." And so the rest is history, as they say.
Wonderful. What a great story.
Right.
So then what happened? You took first degree.
Oh, yes. So I actually could not take with the teacher who first came to Seattle because I was on call. And so the next time I found out someone was coming, I cleared the decks and went, and I'm happy to say that happened to have been you. So
yes.
You became my teacher for first degree. And it was just so amazing. I mean, I could not dissect it with my mind, but what I knew in my heart of hearts is I'd found what I'd been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And all I needed to know is that it did work, and it was totally experiential. Which was kind of a new thing, being a kind of rigorous scientist up until then, for the most part. So then I did go on to do second degree with you, and my motivation was I had an uncle who was quite ill with stomach cancer living in Ohio, and I had offered to support him through Reiki treatment, and he had accepted treatment, but it was impractical to go. I was in Seattle at the time, to commute back and forth between Seattle and Ohio, and I learned that it was possible to do distant treatment. So this was my prime motivation to do second degree training.
Mm-hmm.
And after that I did treat him. But during class for practice, I treated him, and my very first distant treatment was so amazing. It was startling almost. It felt, well, it was very real. I had a real conversation with him at the end of the treatment. You know, it just felt so consistent with what he may well have said to me. And so I knew I had a very powerful tool that went beyond the space plane, as it were. And it then opened many, many possibilities that I have since used in my practice in many situations.
Great. So, along this time, as I recall, there was a project that was started in Seattle with a number of the young men and, of course, women who had come in contact with AIDS and were going through the process with this disease. And it seemed that all over the western part of the United States anyway, for sure, Reiki became really visible in the AIDS communities. And I'm just wondering, did that happen when you were in second degree, as a second degree student?
Yes, that's right. What, if I might back up just a tiny bit, one of the things I know about myself is I've always been a bridger. And after receiving Reiki training, I came to realize that another way I would be bridging professionally in my life was the integration of conventional and complementary approaches to health and healing. And this was long before the term integrative medicine was ever created. This was indeed the early 80s by then. And I had formed the opinion that our medical centers and clinics and places of healing would become, my vision and desire was to somehow assist or steward their becoming places of high tech and high touch. And so I think the Seattle Reiki AIDS Project is a really good example of that bridging. Yes, it was after I had second degree. There were about six of us who had Reiki training and were like-minded about if ever there was a healing method that could support people who were HIV positive or with full-blown AIDS. It was Reiki. People were literally, this was the early days when not much was known about the disease. People were being treated like untouchables, literally like untouchables. Uh-huh. They'd lose their jobs, and with that then went their health care insurance. There, many were in shared housing to begin with, because as you say, you're right, they were mostly young people. And their housemates or roommates were fearful of getting the disease from them, and so they might return home one day and find all their belongings on the street. They'd been literally kicked out of the place. So they had no support, literally no physical support, and no health care.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, six of us co-founded the project. We came together to see what we might do. And we talked a lot about this. There were no masters involved in this. We were all first and second degree students. And we were from all walks of life. There was myself with my background in training. There was a clinical pathologist. There was an attorney. There was a computer systems operator. There was a housewife. There was someone in theater. So we came from all walks of life. Not all of us were in a clinical area. And we talked a lot about what the nature of this project should be, and we decided it wouldn't be research, we wouldn't publish papers, we'd be strictly community service, offering to treat people who came into the project a minimum of once a week. And we had an intake, or the description of the project. I could go on and talk about other elements, but I think I've answered your question. I mean, a lot did happen as a result of that project.
Yes. Well, right now we need to go into a station break.
All right.
We'll come back after the station break, and Colleen will talk more about this because it's one of the really more beautiful things that happened during this time. So this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearnings.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This week I have with me Colleen Delaney, who's from Seattle, Washington, and she was just telling us about her being a member of the founding group of the Reiki AIDS Project in Seattle. And there are many of us who have had connection with people who are HIV positive or who have had AIDS. Perhaps there are others of you listening who have also done Reiki AIDS projects. And Colleen, I'm going to skip over the detail of the groups because even though that's very interesting, what I would like to focus on is about what the results were, in the sense of I think for myself, when I was in LA, and I was very often during the early 80s, it seemed that the young men who I mostly saw, the young men who were there, were wanting, number one, to reconnect with their bodies, having felt totally betrayed by their bodies, and that really shifted a kind of quality of life that they had, and felt their whole being was compromised somehow, and it felt that through Reiki they regained a part of that. And I'm wondering if that was also your experience in treating.
Yes, there are certainly many examples of the healing and at different levels that occurred with the clients. Mm-hmm. And when I say healing, I do not mean necessarily cure. I think healing can happen at several levels. One, it was a huge breakthrough when, in the course of joining the project, permission was given to touch them.
Mm-hmm.
And they soon realized that the touch of Reiki is a touch of love.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense is pretty universally that went deep, very, very deep. They felt for the first time cared for. No one was wanting something from them. They were giving to them. All they needed to do was have a willingness to receive and to make a commitment, which was, while we donated the treatments, I think those in the project gave a great deal because they had a contract they signed with us, which was a commitment to be in the project for a 6-month period, and it was renewable, you know, ongoing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone renewed. So we actually assigned practitioners, so they had a committed practitioner, the same person every time, and
oh,
that was for
mm-hmm.
greater comfort and safety.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so we had a matching system for that. And if there was bad chemistry or something, they could request another practitioner, and that rarely happened. So that was first and foremost. And then shifts began to occur for many of them in their lives. And, you know, it's interesting that we kind of went into this thinking we had a lot to give and offer and we'd be doing this great service, which we did, but we received at a deep level more than we gave, in my opinion. We received mentoring in what it was to live your life with quality in every moment, because mm-hmm. it was not known how many moments some of them might have. So they were great teachers for us.
Could you say more about this? Because I feel that this touches me so much, and yet my mind reaches for a way for me to relate it to my own life. So I'm just wondering if you have a story that comes to mind, or more words that you can describe this gift.
I could say a couple things and actually tell some stories of healing that demonstrate the range of healing that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point I was going to present in Holland at a clinical symposium information about the project, and I got permission of everyone involved, practitioners and the clients who wished to give a comment. I collected those and put them on slides, and then we had demographics and that and whatnot. But many of them referred to the gift of AIDS, that they were grateful for the gift of AIDS. It had brought them in touch with what was significant and meaningful in their life and how best to spend their time, living their life with quality, interacting, deepening their relationships so they weren't superficial but had deeper meaning and connection from the heart, being more compassionate to themselves and to those around them. Comments of that nature. And I actually would be quite happy, if it was of interest to you and your listeners, I would be happy to share those quotes. Now, I would like to shift, if I might, to some healing stories, because I think this demonstrates the range of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
In one case, now, that's the other thing. Pretty soon, people at the 3 designated AIDS hospital in Seattle and others in the community service area all knew about our project. And so clients would self-refer, but began to have nurses and social workers referring clients into the project. And we had one young man who was referred, and it was terrible, really. No one was very willing to go into his hospital room to treat him or to do the work they needed to do in providing his health care. They'd go in and do the minimal and leave. People wouldn't talk to him. He didn't have any friends who visited. He didn't have any family who visited. He was very angry. He was very resistive to his therapy. He was refusing medication. And we learned that one of the reasons he was refusing medication is he was so full of anger and fear. He feared if he took his sleeping medication, he would go to sleep and he would die in the night and
mm-hmm.
not wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a black cloud over his room, a completely negative vibe. Well, his Reiki Aid volunteer went over, and we had a support group for the volunteers just for our own emotional support and sometimes to discuss difficult cases amongst ourselves and that. And she had reported when she was going over, having gotten this information from our intake coordinator, she really just was a little apprehensive what would happen in the treatment and what she really would do. And she said she just got to this place of surrender. All she had to do, she was there in service, all she really needed to do was put her hands on this young man and treat him. That was it. Simple, straightforward, give him the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something melted away during that treatment. He relaxed. He was receptive to her returning. They made an arrangement for her to come back for another treatment. He was so ill, she elected and volunteered to come back the next day. And so they said yes, they made the arrangement, she went away. We learned then that staff felt, it was palpable, apparently, energetically, visually, every which way, this change. And they're more willing to go into the room. So the nurses went in and they did, you know, change their IVs and adjusted the drip and changed dressings, whatever they had to do. And they were quite happy to stay there a little longer and chat a bit with this young man. The doctors got a bit better in their bedside manner with him. And so there was just this shift of what happened in the feeling around the room and in this coming from him, emanating from him. He became willing. He was not resistive any longer. He accepted his medications. And that night, he peacefully passed away in his sleep. And it was like grace had just flowed over him and carried him on his way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that's a healing story.
Mm-hmm.
He received out of that one treatment a loving touch that shifted him and the grace, I think, that assisted him with a peaceful transition.
Mm.
He was clearly in his last hospitalization, you know, and so while he passed away, I feel that was a healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the other end of the spectrum, we had a young man who was a musician and taught music. He became so ill he was still in his home. But he couldn't teach music any longer. And he had a lot of I wouldn't call it fear, but a lot of phobias and things such as that. One of which sort of presented him to go home to see his family. He was from Mexico and really wanted to go back to Mexico City and see them again. At any rate, so he was in the project for quite some time, and he steadily, his health improved. Some of these phobias fell away. He was prepared to go visit his family. And one day his volunteer said, well, I'll make up a first name, Jorge is releasing me from my contract with him. And we all said, well, why? He's been doing so well. And she said, well, he feels he's no longer ill, and he wants me to be available to someone who is really sick. And, in fact, this man was originally diagnosed with ARC, and after a lot of time, we ran the project for about 6 years, so this was probably 2 or 3 years in the project. His physicians did indeed declare that he no longer had this condition. We actually had, Barbara McDaniel and I had along with a man named Michael Sharman, who was a therapist, had put together a class, Healing Your Heart, which was a first degree training and some therapeutic work done by the therapist. And, Jorge took this class with his partner, and we scholarshiped them. Later, his partner was a musician also. Later, they put on a concert as a fundraising concert and totally paid back their scholarships and made donations into the scholarship fund for other people to take training. We felt, actually, that was a next step. The genesis of putting together that training was we felt if it was so powerful for people with AIDS to receive Reiki, what we kept hearing back from them, I remember distinctly, one man said, you know, I could live with this illness if it weren't for all these appointments I'd have to constantly go to, which was true. They had many, many doctor appointments,
right.
Appointments of all kinds, acupuncture, mm-hmm. what have you, Reiki treatments, and so on. And so it occurred to us, and this man also said, I feel like I'm just always receiving, always receiving, always receiving, that I have nothing to give. Well, we heard that statement really clearly. It went in quite deeply. And Michael was a man.
Excuse me, yeah. Colleen, I need to just say that we're at our station break time again.
Sorry.
And it's really fascinating for me to come around to another circle where people need to have this circle of giving and receiving be complete. Or,
yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And that's really important. So we'll come back to this in just a moment. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolight massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolight, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! Alright then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey. Whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Colleen, who's from Seattle, and she was in the 1980s one of the founding members of the Reiki AIDS Project there, and has been sharing with us some stories that really, for me, have a lot to do with quality of life and a feeling that receiving can be is just as important as giving. So, Colleen.
Yes, I just wanted to finish that little piece of the story of how the Finding Your Heart workshop came to be.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, there's a full circle here with Michael. Michael and his partner came to receive a Reiki treatment from me for his partner who had AIDS. And they, in fact, were the inspiration for my getting involved in co-creating the Reiki AIDS project. So it was interesting that when Michael's partner passed away and we had this idea of what it would be like the next level of healing if we offered people with AIDS, and it ended up being anyone with a life-challenging illness. We opened it to all with life-challenging illness could take this workshop. They then had something to give.
Uh-huh.
And so Jorge, whom I was speaking to, took this class with his partner, and a number of men who had been clients in the Reiki AIDS project took the class so that they could give Reiki to themselves at any time, but also to all their care providers and people who were helping them, their companions helping them in the home. They had something to give back, and they recognized that, in fact, in the course of giving a treatment, as we all know, we also receive some Reiki, too. So that's just the piece I wanted to say. And so then Jorge and his partner, who was also a musician, wanted to give back in a significant way, having been scholarships, so they put on those concerts, which eventually led to them going back to work and doing concerts, you know, for their income.
Wow. Beautiful stories. And I'm sure that you have hours of them, because 6 years is a long time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I'm happy to say that the only reason we ended the project was by then there was so much in Seattle available to people, including residential houses where they were happy to have Reiki practitioners come and be a part of volunteer staff to give treatments there, so we didn't have to have a project to house that sort of thing. So it just naturally happened in Seattle.
Mm, beautiful. And I feel that that also happened in other cities and places around the world. Is that true for you?
Yes, it is. In fact, several people contacted us and wanted to know about our project, and you know, we welcomed them to come and hang out with us and be with us, and a number of people actually stayed and lived with me for periods of time, anywhere from a weekend to 3 months, who were interested in doing projects Reiki with AIDS, and many of them, I have to thank you, many of them came because you said, well, you know, would you like to get involved with Reiki and AIDS and talk to Colleen Delaney and go visit with her and those folks who are doing the project. So so thank you for that. Because I know there was a project in Copenhagen. There's a project modeled after ours in Portland that's still running, I believe, and a number of places.
Right.
Some in the Netherlands as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, interestingly enough, although in those days we would have never thought that AIDS would become not on the front page, but it somehow has slipped into a kind of, not so much of a crisis situation as it was then. And the other thing that's been very interesting for me is to notice that at the just before that, cancer seemed to, you know, come, and you know, AIDS kind of replaced it as the, you know, as this very as this disease that came upon us as human beings and aroused all of our fears and, you know, our control mechanisms and who knows what else. And that in the last few months, you've been given the opportunity to meet that one head on. And I'd like to just segue into your experience of looking at quality of life and how you made decisions after finding out that you had this little spot of cancer in one of your breasts.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry, I don't know if that was too long of an intro, but feel like there's a very interesting segue between these two, even though there were years, the two. So I just want everybody to know that the Reiki AIDS project ended probably in 1992 or something like that.
Let me see. Late 80s, I would say.
Late 80s, uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yes, this is a recent situation in my life. In late April, through routine screening, we found a suspicious spot, and yes, indeed, it ended up, after being biopsied, to be DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ, meaning it's cancer of the breast of the duct cells. So it's limited to the ducts, kind of contained, so it was non-invasive and zero stage because of its containment, and not aggressive but not slow, kind of intermediate grade. So that was a blessing. Everything went into action very quickly, as it does these days in clinical areas, because of the standard of care that's been established, I did have some time to be more thoughtful with what I wanted to do about it. But I have to say, while I'd been followed routinely and had some fibrous tissue issues that were biopsied and shown to be benign, I never thought I would have cancer. I was totally shocked.
Where do you think that came from? Just the usual human thing that it won't be for me?
I know my body pretty well through, 26 years of Reiki, I guess. I've got good body awareness, and I always thought it would be something else, some other type of disease. I kind of feel I'm a little more prone to. So this caught me by surprise, as we say.
Right.
And the first impulse was, wow, I just can't believe this. And then it's like, well, I'd better get on it, And so using what I know, I began kind of my immediate support program. I needed both the physical and emotional support. So, of course, Reiki was the first thing that came to mind. I asked for distant Reiki to be sent to me for me, but also for the situation, because I wanted to have clarity of how to proceed. I don't know if it's your listeners' experience or not, but it's amazing how many people come forward and offer support, but also lots of suggestion and story and do this and like that.
Right.
So it's really important, I think, to stay grounded and peaceful and find your own path that will fit best for you. So Reiki was important for that, and I am a member of the Reiki Alliance, so I put myself on the support line, and a colleague put me on the UK helpline, and of course I asked my students and friends to send Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to put a little plug in, because while I don't know everyone who was sending Reiki to me through all of those service groups, it was so palpable, and I just want to say a thank you to those of you, who are even unknown to me to this day, who were serving me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out there listening, I say again, thank you.
Okay, well, this is a great place to just pause for a moment of quietness, and also to take a little station break.
All right.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more. You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
Desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
grunt?
Yeah, be like, there you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Right now, we're with Colleen Delaney, and she's describing to us and sharing with us a very personal experience, which I really appreciate, Colleen, because I know that it's so close. It's only been a few weeks, actually, past, and that you went through something that I feel each of us considers in our life, and perhaps fears, and wonders what we would do in your place. So thank you very much for sharing this piece of you.
You're welcome. If it helps just one other person, then it's well worth talking about.
Great. Well, so you were saying that you received a lot of distant Reiki and had physical treatment, hands-on, and you used Reiki to decide your course of action, which, of course, there are many, many possibilities.
Yeah, so for one thing, I feel that the hands-on Reiki always took me to a very, very deep place. And again, that it almost like the beginning story of the first Reiki experience I ever had, this place of calm and then clarity and peace. I feel like it assists me to get really clear. Look, all I need to do is to figure out the next step. What's the next step? And then the next step. What are the decisions I need to make? What's the decision I need to make now? So and I think Reiki to the situation was amazing. Even my own sending Reiki to a situation. I'll tell you a short story. I found great doctors. Okay, and in terms of my surgeon, I was referred immediately to a surgeon whose schedule was open, and that was fine. I asked friends and got some recommendations, and one of the surgeons who was so highly recommended, I called, and I wouldn't be able to get in to see them, her, for about 2 months. So I decided to keep the appointment that was within 4 days of the first surgeon, and I called, and I asked, well, could I get on the waiting list for the surgeon I thought I might like to have. And they said, sure. And so then I immediately sent a distant treatment, and 15 minutes later, the phone rang, and it was a scheduler. And she says, you know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but Dr. Chow has an opening. Can you get here in a half hour? I said, you bet, I'll be there. And so I'm very happy that this opened up on the schedule. I interviewed both, and I decided on Dr. Chow, whose first name translates Heavenly Treasure, and she is indeed that. I've never met a surgeon who so emotionally connects with her patients first at an emotional level and does whatever is needed. She ended up doing one of my surgeries for the follow-up care modality I selected. She came in on her vacation and did the surgery. So wow. I feel like Reiki opened that space for me to receive her. And the same thing, my radiation oncologist who did the mammocyte therapy, the radiologic seed placement, was Dr. Song, who was also interested in spirituality and medicine. So I just feel I got great doctors, you know. So that was essential. And a big thing for me was to reduce stress in my life. I got very clear that with cancer, to fully recover, it would be important for me to, one can never eliminate stress, but to reduce it to the greatest extent I could. And also, I'm sort of, this is kind of the things I put in my medicine bundle. I'm just going to list them, then we can talk a little story maybe. The Reiki precepts were very pivotal, very, very important. And I also, one of the things I do where I kind of put everything together I know clinically and all complementary modalities is guided visualization journeys that I create for people where I try to connect the mind, body, heart, and spirit. So I made a guided visualization journey for myself. I do these for myself.
Uh-huh.
So these all came together, and the big message for me is, gosh, Colleen, this is breast. Breast is about nurturing. In other words, I was looking for, I've heard Bernie Siegel say that pain, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, doesn't matter, pain is God's reset button. So I thought, oh, okay, the big guy's pushing my reset button. I'd best get clear what this is really about. And so I came up with nurturing. And then I thought, oh, yes, left breast. The association I make with left side of the body is it's the feminine, female, receiving side. So I thought, oh, gosh, this is about self-nurturing. So then I really went into this deep probe of myself of, well, how are you doing on self-nurturing? You know, how do you nurture yourself? And so this then became along the journey of, I had two surgeries, and I elected and qualified for mammocyte, which is a focused, intense radiation protocol of the lumpectomy cavity, and it's really to reduce the risk significantly of future cancer, same cancer or any cancer, and it since I qualified for it, it seemed like, to me, it seemed the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave myself plenty of permission to rest. I lightened up. Less intense work, because the work that became intense that replaced it was the work on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I had some meltdowns along the way in my darkest moments, and it was okay. I told myself it's really okay to have this meltdown, because something is melting away, and in its place, something positive and constructive and supportive will flow in if you mm-hmm. allow it. Just don't push it, don't will it, just be open to its flowing and coming to you.
That's some great advice, Colleen. Really. Because, I've always felt that this tendency that we have to see disease or some condition of the body as the enemy is really promoting a kind of war within ourselves. And this feels like the practice of Reiki brings us to peace.
Mm-hmm. And peace in every situation.
Yep. So is there time for more story? I just thought of...
Well, we're just very at the end of our time. Too bad, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it would be wonderful to revisit Colleen because she has a lot to offer us. And Colleen, thank you very much for sharing yourself.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say in closing that I feel this was a little wake-up call, reset button, bump in the road of my life, and I feel like I am free of cancer and that I will be living a very robustly long and prosperous new life with all of you.
Great. Wonderful. Well, for all of those who are listening in, it's been a great program and hopefully inspiring for all of us. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.